Hey, everybody. Well, good morning. Okay, first service was really powerful, and I was ready for them to be a little bit of a sleep, so we got to try one more time. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Oh, look at that confidence, and even a whistle in the back. That's fantastic. Always looking for the people to be whistling at me. That is really great. There was one more announcement that didn't make it into the video because it came after the video, and that is this. If you are a lady and you are not in a grow group, we are looking at starting a grow group on Wednesday nights. We have a couple people that are interested, and so we're just trying to see if there are some more people that are interested in that. So if you are, you can come tell me afterwards. You can put something on a card, just leave it either in the box in the back or just leave it on your chair. We'll pick it up, but just want you to know that we are trying to start a new grow group and would love to make that opportunity known to you. So, okay, let's get started. Are we ready to get started? Yeah? Okay? Yep, good. Here's the deal. Today, there's so much noise. There's so many voices that are constantly competing for our attention, right? I mean, morning, noon, and night. I mean, you wake up and the phone is there and you have instant access to everything. But between the infinite social media feeds and the all-night binges on Netflix, or for some of us, it's a weekend-long binge on the latest show. If this isn't enough, there's news that's available 24 hours a day, and it's, you know, really, you know, we could be informed and freak out at the same time. You know, I mean, it's there's just so much that's coming at us, and it's really frantic. And the reality is, of course, is that in the last seven days, how much have you watched? Have you clicked? Have you read? Have you scrolled? And this is just a personal question for you in the quietness of your own brain. But it's important for us to think about this, because the things that we let through our eyes, the things that we put into our heads, they shape us. They change who we are. They make an impact. I'm a very amateur woodworker, and the whole deal of woodworking is shaping wood. But sandpaper, shapes it to that final where it's supposed to be. It makes a difference. And what we listen to, it's like sandpaper. It shapes us, and it makes a difference. And as you think about it, as you do a little bit of an inventory just right now, the goal is not for you to be guilty, because we're all in this together. I've got a phone, and even as I'm preparing this message, there were times where I was like, oh man, too much time went by and I was scrolling. I got kids, so I see it in my young kids. So the goal is not for you to feel even a little bit guilty. The goal would be growth. The goal would be growth. And so think about this for a second. On the stuff that you mentally ingested for the past week, did it make you any better? Did it make you any happier? Did it push you further along towards your goals? Did it lift you up or inspire you? I mean, the reality is not all content is the same, right? And of course, with the phone, we've got the robots out there, the algorithm robots that are telling us what we need to watch, and there's popular things and things we're interested in, but all content is not the same. You see, there is one voice from God who could be trusted and is so much better than anything else that's out there. You see, God's love for us is unconditional. And it's hard for us to understand that because we don't experience unconditional love. I mean, even as a parent, that's the closest I think we could get is loving your kids unconditionally. But even that is not, it's not like the same way that God loves us. It doesn't matter what you do, God still loves you. It doesn't matter what you do, you can't gain any of God's love. You can't lose any of God's love. This is unconditional love. So when God is speaking to us, this is a voice that you could trust. This is something worth checking out. You and I both need to listen more to God. In today's message, we're going to look at all the verses in Psalm 19. So we got a lot to do. We're going to be strapping. We're going to make it all happen. And Psalm 19 is all about listening to God? And how do we hear God's voice? And I know in a crowd this size, some of us that are here today, maybe you haven't said yes to Jesus and you're just checking things out and you're not really sure. And that is so great and that is awesome. Today is a great day to show up to church because you're gonna hear who God really is, who he says he is. You don't have to take my word for it or anything that you've heard out there. You can hear straight from God who God is. I know that some of us have drifted off course. That's just a reality, and maybe it's just been a week or two. Maybe it's been a few years, but some of us have just kind of, we're still playing the game, and we still look, everything looks fine on the outside, but we're just kind of off a little bit. And if you're in that boat, my hope for you is that today you'd be encouraged. My hope for you is that today you'd maybe come up with a few ideas that hear God's spirit on how to get back on track and to hear God's voice. And of course, I know in a crowd like this that there are some of us who listen to God's voice every day. And that has been our habit for many, many years. And first, I want to say that is awesome. Way to go. That is fantastic. It is so difficult. My prayer for you today is that you, maybe your listening skills would improve. Maybe you get one or two, just your listening skills would get a little bit better. And as God's Spirit is working in your heart to draw you closer to him and to make you more like his son. So let's get started. In order for us to hear God speak, this song, Psalm 19, the first thing that we need to do is we need to listen to God's creation. Listen to God's creation. This psalm is fantastic. Couple after last service, I had three people come up and tell me that it was their favorite psalm. I thought that was cool. This psalm very neatly divides itself into three parts. That's why we have three points for today. But let's jump into the psalm. It says this: the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Circle those words real quick where it says glory and it says work. We're going to come back to those several times in the message. The next paragraph, it says, day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they have no words, and no sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out to all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. The next section. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of the chamber. It's like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. If we stop and pause just long enough, we can see that God's creation is speaking to us. And the two things that it's really communicating is it's talking about God's glory and it's talking about God's works. You see, God is awesome. He really is amazing. That's glory. Glory is awesome. And his works, he's active and moving. We see in Scripture, not just in this passage, but God is awesome and God is active. This second paragraph, it's interesting and fun because it gets a little bit illogical. This is poetry, and poetry is condensed language, and poetry isn't always logical and all these things. But it talks about the silent speech of creation, that on one hand, there is no speech, there is no sound, but on the other hand, everyone can hear its voice. The third paragraph is very, very interesting, maybe not so much for us, but for the original people who read this thousands and thousands of years ago. You see, the sun was, for most cultures, a god to be worshipped. And God says, the Bible is, no. The sun is just a part of creation. It's awesome, but it's just a part of creation. The sun's not a god. The sun speaks about God. And so this little section, it's pretty straightforward. It talks about, what is it the creation saying? Well, it's saying God is glorious and that God is working and that all of creation has a voice that we can hear and that really creation is like the sun, that nothing is deprived of its warmth. But even from these few verses, what do we learn about God's voice? What is it that this is teaching us about the character and the nature of God? There's three things. The first is this, is that God's voice is continual. God's voice is continual. The passage says day after day. It says night after night. God's voice is also universal. That means it's for everyone, not just a select group. It's for everyone. The voice goes out to all the earth, and nothing is deprived of the sun's warmth. And of course, also, God's voice is relational because it reveals who God is. And so you look at these words for a second, and why do they matter? Like, who cares? Like, so what? I have found that a lot of times, theology or teaching could be interesting information, and that's not really the point of God's word. And instead of interesting information, it ought to be inspiring transformation. And so why do these matter? Think about this for a second. The fact that God's voice is continual, that is awesome. You know why? Because if you've been ignoring God's voice for the last week, the last year, the last 30 years, his voice is continual. It doesn't stop. You can still hear God's voice. You haven't missed out. It is not too late. The fact that it's continual, it is not too late for you to tune in to God's voice. That's why it matters. That's why this is awesome. The fact that God's voice is universal, why does that matter? Well, that's cool because God talks to all of you and talks to me, and you guys are all really nice. You know, you're smiling, you give me hugs. Some of you I give hugs, and you don't I invade the people space. Just sorry about that beforehand. I lack the people skills, and so you still get the hug. If you want to assure that you don't get a hug, then you either hold your hand out or just put a mask on. Like, I won't hug the mask if you do this. I'll probably still hug you if I know you. But anyhow, God's voice is universal. He's also speaking to the people that you don't speak to, the people you choose not to speak to. And I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot here, but, you know, there's people we don't like. There's people we look down on. There's people we judge. There's people that are outside our circle, and it's like, you wouldn't say it out loud. You wouldn't say, I wouldn't talk to that person. But you just act like it. It's part of your attitude. And you know what? The fact that God's voice is universal, like God is speaking to that person who I don't like as much as he's speaking to me, and I like myself. I'm kind of a fan. Maybe I ought to have a different attitude towards that person. Like, we're all in the same boat. It's universal. The relational part's easy to figure out. Why does this matter? It's the fact that God loves us and he wants us to know him. That is really great. That is really amazing. But let's focus on God, specifically on the creation and how God speaks to us through creation. How many of you guys, last service is almost everybody, but maybe this service is totally different. How many of you love being outside? How many of you love? Go ahead, be proud. That's good. How many of you love being outside? Okay, maybe you did camping as a kid. How many love camping, or you go camping with your family? You took your kids camping. That is awesome. Way to go. I totally identify with that 100%. San Clemente is a great place for those of us who love being outside all the time in the sun. What I wanted to do is, I've now been here for about a year and 4 months. I have explored all of San Clemente has to offer, and I would like to share some of the nature spots that are fantastic. The first one is, wait, you're laughing? Jody, why are you laughing? Am I about to not be serious? Yes, there it is. So this is the best spot. This is kind of new. This is a new place. It's only been around about 5 months. But if you go inside and sit near the window at the right time during the day, you can nearly see the sun bouncing off the terracotta tiles of Talega. And it is breathtaking. It is fantastic. And the taquitos are good too. So you get nature and taquitos at the same time. How many of you guys anybody fish? Any fisher? People, fishermen's. Okay, so this is the best fishing spot in San Clemente right here. I know it says Mexican food, but really the fish and chips is where it's at. Someone told me that it used to be a fish and chips place. I don't really know about the history. I don't really care. I just know in the future I could get fish and chips whenever I want, and they're really, really good. One other spot, hikers. Do we have any hikers? I know we have a walking ministry. Yes, this is the best trailhead in all of San Clemente. I start out my hikes here. with a burger, and then I fill my Yeti up with a shake, always hike with a shake. And then after a very long hike next door, I end up at the Zebra House Coffee. It is a really wonderful nature experience. And so you're thinking, is he for reals? And pretty much, I'm not really an outdoors person that much. But let me tell you this. I do know that God speaks to us through creation. I mean, it's in the Bible. And just because I love inside without bugs and air conditioning, that doesn't mean I need to stay there. And so I've actually found this awesome bench. It's a sweet bench. There's all these walkways and shrubbery, and then the ocean. And I love it. Last year, right before we did Rooted class, and before every Rooted, I would sit here and prepare and get ready. This is look familiar to you guys, I think. And for me, just to be personal, like for me, like staring at the ocean, like results in humility. Like for me, like it is so big. And I am not. And God, you are so big, and not me. And the other thing that's kind of funny about this spot, at least this is for me, is that it's always very uncomfortable. It's terrible. It's either too hot or too cold, or too sunny or too windy, and or I forget the sunglasses, or if I go and I don't have a hat, you know, it's like you know the glory of the Lord is right in my eyes, you know, and I can't, it's not comfortable, and even in that, as I chuckle to myself, I mean, I'm sitting there, I'm doing my thing, I'm like, oh, you know, I kind of chuckle. Like, it's actually a reminder. God speaks to me through that you know what? Life is often not perfect, and very rarely is life comfortable. And even in the midst of life being uncomfortable, like, God is bigger than that. Like, God is still with me in that. And I just to give you a heads up on the, if those of you that are in a grow group, you will have an opportunity to share, how does God speak to you through creation? And so if you want, you can have a little bit of prep time and you can ready, you know, when you show up to group, you're like, this is how God speaks to me. But it's a very personal thing. And we need to stop. We need to be still. And we need to hear God's voice in creation. My heart on this is just to ask you, what's keeping you from hearing God's voice in creation? Is it because you're too distracted with a busy schedule or busy thoughts that just never stop? Are you too demoralized by some of your failures and even maybe guilt that you're holding on to? Or maybe it's life is so over, you're too discouraged by the problems that you face. And because of this, you are totally missing the boat and you're not hearing God speak through creation. These issues are real. So I'm not telling you that these things aren't, you know, oh, just brush it off. But what I am telling you is don't let it become an excuse. Don't let it make it get you so derailed that you don't hear God. You don't hear God speak through nature, through creation. The next point is this, is that if we want to hear God speak, we need to lean on God's promises. We need to lean on God's promises. There is a lot here, and we're not going to go through all of it, but let's look at this next section together. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Now, what this means here is life, because, you know, when you're dead, you don't have any light in your eyes, but when you're alive, you have light in your eyes. So the idea here is that God's commands, they give us light, they give us life. And then kind of shifts gears a little bit. We'll talk about it in a second. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever, and the decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. And so there is a lot here, and we're not going to do we're not going to do all of it because we don't have the time, but I want to point out a few things. The first is this. Notice it says, of the Lord, 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 of the Lord. You know, so it's in every line, and what that tells us is that this is a section. This is part two of the psalm, because everything in this part is of the Lord, of the Lord, of the Lord, of the Lord. So that's the first thing we need to notice and to recognize. The other thing is this. Notice that Lord is capitalized. Now, I did the slides and I did your notes, and even if you were to read in your Bible, you would see that Lord is caps or small caps. And this is really significant, And here's why this is significant. Anytime you see Lord in caps in your Bible, it'll only be in the Old Testament, it is God's most personal name. It's the name that even devout Jews won't say out loud. It's the name Yahweh, the name that God, when he talked to Moses in the burning bush, he said, hey, tell him that Yahweh sent you. I mean, this is a very, very personal name of God, YHWH. And it's all over the Old Testament. And why is it significant? It's significant here because it's not in part one. In part one, you'll only see the word God. You'll see the word God twice. Yahweh isn't in part one, Yahweh's in part two. In part one, it's the normal name of God. You got the God of the Son God, and you got the God of the Bible. It's the same word, a generic name for God. In the first part, we have a very powerful God. In the second part, we have a very, very personal God. Another thing to notice is where it says law, statutes, precepts, commands, decrees. Those are all the same thing. Those are all different words for the same thing. After the last service, someone walked up to me and said, oh, thank you so much for saying that. Years ago, I was studying this psalm and I looked them all up and I was so confused. This is like saying chocolate ice cream, double chocolate ice cream, German chocolate ice cream, double Dutch chocolate, I don't know, whatever. You know, I mean, these are a bunch of different words. It's poetry, but they all mean essentially the same thing, which is the law, which is God's word. The third thing that I want you to see is something doesn't fit, or at least it doesn't seem like it fits. You've got law, statutes, precepts, commands, fear, and decrees. And so all those things like rules, like they seem like they all fit together, but it's like, what's fear doing there? And honestly, what I could do is I could give you some details on that of what scholars say and some popular opinions and where they fall, but I actually don't really care about that. If you'd care about that, we could talk about it afterwards. But here's the point. When we read the Bible, we need to read it carefully. And we need to read it slowly. And when we see things that we don't understand, things that don't fit, that's okay. What we need to do is we need to wrap our lives around the Bible, not the Bible around our lives. We are very naturally, we're good at just skipping over things that we don't understand or things that don't make sense. And the reality is these last two lines are really weird and they're different than the first four. Yet it's all one unit, but yet it's not. And the reality is that these two last two things, they set up the next section, which we're gonna talk about in a second. But let me show you the crescendo of this passage, of the reason why this is here. Remember a second ago that I told you that the heavens declare the glory of God and the works of God, right? Remember that? It was just a couple minutes ago. I'm sure we're all there. You know, God is awesome and God is active. Well, this passage, it's telling us the same thing about God's word. It's telling us what is the glory of God's word? What is God's word like? And what are the actions? What are the works of God's word? And so God's word, you know what? It's glorious. It's awesome because it's perfect. It's trustworthy. It's right. It's radiant. It's pure. It endures forever. It's righteous and firm. But here's the next thing, and this is the final step in the journey here on this second section, is what is God's word doing? What is God's word doing? Well, it refreshes the soul. It gives us wisdom, gives us joy, and it gives us life. And think about those promises for a second. Are those things that you need in your life? I mean, I know some of you, I don't know all of you, but I know some of you what's going on, and I know that you need these things. I know that you need these promises. And I know that I need these promises. I know that I need them in my life. I'm not up here because I'm different. I'm up here because the same. There are times I need my soul to be refreshed. I'm not smart enough. I need God's wisdom to figure it out. I could be negative in it. I need God's joy. And I also need the life that comes from him. I don't need to look in other places for life, for fulfillment. Now, the reality is the only way we could pursue God's promises is to spend time in God's word. And I know that some of you spend a lot of time in God's word, and that's great. I'd like to challenge everybody, no matter where you're at, that you'd spend at least 10 or 15 minutes in God's word every day. I know that's a lot. And I'm talking about God's word, not just a devotional. Devotionals are great, but they ought to be a supplement to God's word. And what I want to do is I just want to give you four things to look for when you read the Bible. And these are pretty simple words. I've taught this to junior high kids, to high school kids, to adults. I've had people go through my ministry and they teach it at churches that they're at. This is very simple and not that difficult to do. But every time you read God's word, anytime you're reading a section, here's four things that you can look for. The first is confusion. And what I mean by confusion is that's where you're like, oh, what is that? You know, I don't know what a Pharisee is, or I don't know what an Essene is, or I don't know what is happening in this passage. It is so important to stop and go, okay, this doesn't make sense to me. You don't have to admit it to anyone else. Just keep it to yourself. You know, that's fine. If you can't find an answer, man, I'd love to have a conversation with you about that, or an email. If you are confused by something I've never heard of before, that's fine. I'll do the homework. I'll do some research and figure it out. But confusion is really important. We actually can't grow unless we first admit that we don't know something. So confusion is great. The next one, inspiration, is pretty easy. And I think a lot of us do this naturally. But inspiration is when you read a scripture and you're like, yes, I love it. Fantastic. I love that verse. It's amazing. And so that's the inspiration part. The conviction is a little bit different. Conviction is when you read a verse and you're like, oh. Like anytime I'm reading and it says, let your gentleness be evident to all, I'm just like, oh, God, why is that in the Bible? You know, sometimes I feel like my tomb is going to say, he did not let his gentleness be evident to all. You know, and whatever, it's negative, I know. But it's also kind of funny. But that's conviction. And application is probably pretty easy to understand too. But that the idea here is like, how will you be different? You know, how will you think differently? How will you speak differently? How will you act differently? If you read God's word, but it doesn't make an impact, well, you're missing the point. And really, that's what you're supposed to be doing. So four simple things you could be looking for. This will help you dig deeper into a passage. I know reading the Bible can be intimidating, and it can be boring. I mean, trust me. I know. I've heard it. It's tough, but this can help you just get a little bit of an edge to dig in. So a quick recap, through creation, God speaks to us very plainly. With his word, he speaks to us very personally. But in all of this, God wants to speak to us very powerfully. And let me explain what I mean by that. So to hear God's voice, to hear God speak, we need to live for God's pleasure. That's the third point, live for God's pleasure. And I got to tell you, I had a friend saw this on the outline, and they just kind of looked at it, and they were like, You know, and like, that's kind of weird. And then I was not really in a good mood at that point. And so I was a little snarky and I was like, well, I go, sorry, that's in scripture. Do you want me to delete the scriptures? You know, so it was a little kind of, like I said, mean. A little is Bible meanness. Probably need to circle back around for some forgiveness, but live for God's pleasure. So if you see that and you're like, just hang with me. It's in the passage. We'll get to it in a second. So here's what the third and final section of this psalm says. They are more, should we have a quiz and say what is the they referring to? We won't. But the they is the law, is everything mentioned in the last passage. So God's word. So God's word or the law, you know, whatever you want to say. So God's word, the law, they are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Then it turns into a prayer. Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins, that they may not rule over me. Then I will be blameless. I'll be innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So the end of this psalm gives us the whole point of this psalm. The ultimate goal is we want to be pleasing in your sight, Lord. And this is counter-cultural and counter-intuitive. Everything we hear and everything we feel is about selfishness, My kids the other day were singing a Burger King commercial, and it was pretty catchy. I don't remember what it is. I'm not going to sing it. Now I want to sing it, but I'm not going to because it's embarrassing. But I remembered what Burger King used to say about years and years and years ago. Their slogan was, "You can have it your way," right? Like, you know, you can have it. You deserve it. You're the king. We're the Burger King. You're the king. You have it your way. And that's really what we feel. It is so much easier to be selfish and to look after my own needs, and my own pleasure is what matters. It is really difficult to say, okay, God, I'm going to live your way, and I'm going to live for you. But this passage gives us some real practical ways on how to do that. The first is that we need to value God's word. We need to value God's word. If you want to live for God's pleasure, you need to value his word. This is a choice. You need to decide that God's word is important. He compares God's word. He compares the law to gold and to honey. This is so weird. I mean, you read it in the Bible and you probably think, well, it's in the Bible. Everything's weird. Or maybe it's like, well, it's in the Bible. Of course, it's, you know, it makes sense. But that's so weird. Like, why wouldn't you say God's love is like honey, or God's mercy, or God's power, or the fact that God's present with us? Like, why wouldn't he say, God, your presence is better than gold? Instead, he's saying, your law is better than gold. Like, what would you rather have, a couple gold bars or the Ten Commandments? Like, right? Like, it doesn't even seem like you take the gold and I could buy the Ten Commandments. You know, I don't know. But that's what he's saying here. And the truth is that you and I need to decide. If we want to hear God speak, we need to decide that it's important. As a dad, I have to do this with my kids, right? I've got 5 kids. They're all boys, so there's a lot of noise in our house, but there's not a lot of communication in our house. I overshare. I just talk constantly. You can ask Jody that too. I talk and talk and talk. Like I share constantly what I'm thinking, feeling, what I should be wondering. I mean, I talk a lot. And none of my kids do. And so I want to hear their voice. And so if I want to hear their voice, if their voice is important to me, well, then I make steps to do that. So we have boundaries on screen time and when we're in the car and if we're out to dinner or having dinner at home, like, you know, I try to ask questions that are more specific than, hey, how was your day? Because, you know, a lot of times the how was your day, the response is, what do you think it is? Yeah, not even that. No, you get my intelligence level. So it's like, You know, and even one of my kids is constantly speaking in monosyllabic, non-English words. But I'm not going to hear their voice if I don't value that. And because I value that, I'm going to take steps to listen to them. The second way that we can live for God's pleasure is to evaluate our lives. And we need to do that according to God's standard. According to God's standard, it says, by them, by your word, a servant is warned. Who can discern their own errors? You and I are not smart enough on our own to figure out our own mistakes. Just ask your spouse, right? We're not wise enough. We're not good enough. We're selfish and we're limited. We need God's word to measure and to define how our lives ought to look. The reality is that God's word makes us better people. And this isn't self-help. This is surrender. God's word, when we listen to what he has to say and we follow that, we're surrendering our lives to him. God's word will make us into the best version of ourselves if we surrender to him. The last thing that it says here, he begins a prayer and he says, forgive my hidden faults. But to live for God's pleasure, we need to develop the habit of confessing our sins to him. None of us would say we're perfect. I mean, sometimes we kind of act like it, but none of us would say we're perfect. We know we're not perfect. We go to bed at night, we know we're not perfect. The problem is that that's not really confession. Like confession, you need to get specific. You need to get honest with God and you need to get honest with yourself. The great thing is, God loves you fully and completely. I talked about that in the beginning. God knows everything about you. What is it that you can say to the God who knows everything? You can say anything because he's still going to accept you afterwards. If you told me all your deepest sins, I might be like, And then if I told you mine, all the crazy thoughts that I have, you know, and my whole problems of my whole life, you'd be like, oh man, that McGill guy. Like you would be surprised, and I would be surprised. We would be surprised at the sicknesses within us, you know. God's not surprised. God's not surprised, and he still loves you fully and completely. So to live for God's pleasure, we need to value his word. We need to evaluate our lives. We need to confess our sins. Here's the big picture for today. I hope that today you walk out of here, you are encouraged that God is speaking to you. And he's speaking to you in a way that you can understand. You don't have to be in a grow group. You don't have to come to church every week for 100 years. You don't even have to be a Christian. The disciples followed Jesus for many years before they believed in him. And you can hear God speak. It's not inaccessible. But we do need to take responsibility and take some steps. And according to this psalm, we need to listen to God's creation. We need to lean into, we need to rely on God's promises. And we need to live for God's pleasure. So here's how we're going to end it. This was a total experiment last service, and it worked great. So I am fully confident it's going to work today. We are going to all stand up together. So go ahead and stand up. I'm not going to put anybody on the spot. Don't worry. Everybody stand up. There you go. Stretch those legs. Get the circulation happening. And then we're going to read this last part together out loud. And so maybe you're like, well, I don't know how to speak in key. That's okay. No keys are needed. Just your normal voice. Okay. So we can do this together. Let's make this our prayer, our confession together. May the words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Great job. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for today. We humble ourselves before you. We give you the sins that we commit, the imperfections, the ego, the times that we are more concerned about ourselves than we are of you. We give all this to you and we lay it at the cross and we ask for your mercy and for your grace. We are so thankful that you wash our hearts and you make them white as snow. Lord, we thank you that you do not leave us alone, that you are not a cold and distant God, but you are the creator of the universe and you speak to us through your creation. God, you also speak to us through your word and you have given us so many promises that we need to build our life on. Your promises never fail. And anytime we rely on something else, we are relying on something less. And God, we also ask that you would help us to live for your pleasure, live to please you and not please somebody else, not to please ourselves. We're thankful for your love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.